tried to hide this fault, but it grew so that it could not be concealed. I spoke of it to her confessor in order that he might try softly and artfully to reclaim her from it. But instead of profiting by her director's advice, she was outrageous against me. My mother-in-law, who could hardly bear the fault of intemperance and had often spoken to me about it, now joined in reproaching me and vindicating her. This strange creature, when any company came, would cry out with all her might that I had dishonored her, thrown her into despair, and would be the cause of her damnation, as I was taking the ready course to my own. Yet God gave me an unbounded patience. I answered only with mildness and charity all her passionate invectives, giving her besides every possible mark of my affection. If any other maid came to wait on me, she would drive her back in a rage, crying out that I hated her on account of the affection with which she had served my husband. When she had not a mind to come, I was obliged to serve myself, and when she did come, it was to chide me and make a noise. When I was very unwell, as was often the case, this girl would appear to be in despair. From hence I thought it was from thee, O Lord, that all this came upon me. Without thy permission, she was scarcely capable of such unaccountable conduct. She seemed not sensible of any fault, but always to think herself in the right. All those whom thou hast made use of to cause me to suffer thought they were rendering service to thee in so doing. Before my husband's death, I went to Paris on purpose to see Monsignor Berthaud, who had been of very little service to me as a director. Not knowing my state, and I being incapable of telling him of it, he grew weary of the charge. At length he gave it up and wrote to me to take another director. I made no doubt but God had revealed to him my wicked state, and this desertion of me seemed the most certain mark of my reprobation. This was during the life of my husband, but now my renewed solicitations and his sympathy with me on my husband's death prevailed on him to resume my direction, which to me still proved of very little service. I went again to Paris to see him. While there, I visited him 12 or 15 times, without being able to tell him anything of my condition. I told him, indeed, that I wanted some ecclesiastic to educate my son, to rid him of his bad habits, and of the wrong impressions he had conceived against me. He found one for me of whom he had received very good recommendations. I went to make a retreat with Monsieur Berthaud and Madame de C. All that time he spoke to me not a quarter of an hour at most. As he saw that I said nothing to him, for indeed I knew not what to say, as I had not spoken to him of the favors which God had conferred on me, not from a desire to conceal them, but because the Lord did not permit me to do it, as he had over me only the designs of death. He therefore spoke to such as he looked upon to be more advanced in grace. He let me alone as one for whom there was nothing to be done. So well did God hide from him the situation of my soul in order to make me suffer, that he wanted to refer me, thinking that I had not the spirit of prayer, and that Mrs. Granger was mistaken when she told him I had. I did what I could to obey him, but it was entirely impossible. On this account, I was displeased with myself, because I believed Monsieur Berthaud rather than my experience. Through his whole retreat, my inclination, which I discerned only by my resistance to it, was to rest in silence and nakedness of thought. In the settling of my mind therein, I feared I was disobeying the orders of my director. This made me think that I had fallen from grace. I kept myself in a state of nothingness, content with my poor, low degree of prayer, without envying the higher degree of others, of which I judged myself unworthy. I would have, however, desired much to do the will of God and to please Him, but despaired altogether of ever attaining that desirable end. There was in the place where I lived, and had been for some years, one whose doctrine was suspected. He possessed a dignity in the church, which always obliged me to have a deference for him. as he understood how averse I was to all who were suspected of unsoundness in the faith, and knowing that I had some credit in the place, he used his utmost efforts to engage me in his sentiments. I answered him with so much clearness and energy that he had not a word to reply. This increased his desire to win me in order to do it, to contract a friendship for me. He continued to importune me for 2.5 years. As he was very polite and of an obliging temper and had a good share of learning, I did not mistrust him. I even conceived a hope of his conversion, in which I found myself mistaken. I then ceased going near him. He came to inquire why he could see me no more. At that time he was so agreeable to my sick husband in his assiduities about him that I could not avoid him, though I thought the shortest and best way for me would be to break off all acquaintance with him, which I did after the death of my husband. Monsieur Bertot would not permit me to do it before. When he now saw that he could not renew it, he and his party raised up strong persecutions against me. These gentlemen had at that time a method among them by which they soon knew who were of their party and who were opposite. They sent to one another circular letters, by means of which, in a very little time, they cried me down on every side, after a very strange manner. Yet this gave me little trouble. I was glad of my new liberty, intending never again to enter into an intimacy with anyone which would give me so much difficulty to break. This inability I was now in, of doing those exterior acts of charity I had done before, served this person with a pretext to publish that it was owing to him I had formerly done them. Willing to ascribe to himself the merit of what God alone by his grace had made me do, he went so far as to preach against me publicly, as one who had been a bright pattern to the town, but was now become a scandal to it. Several times he preached very offensive things. Though I was present at those sermons, and they were enough to weigh me down with confusion, for they offended all that heard them, I could not be troubled. I carried in myself my own condemnation beyond utterance. I thought I merited abundantly worse than all he could say of me, and that if all men knew me, they would trample me under their feet. My reputation then was blasted by the industry of this ecclesiastic. He caused all such as passed for persons of piety to declare against me. I thought he and they were in the right, and therefore quietly bore it all. Confused like a criminal that dares not lift up his eyes, I looked upon the virtue of others with respect. I saw no fault in others and no virtue in myself. When any happened to praise me, it was like a heavy blow struck at me, and I said in myself, "They little know my miseries and from what state I have fallen." When any blamed me, I agreed to it as right and just. Nature wanted sometimes to get out of such an abject condition, but could not find any way. If I tried to make an outward appearance of righteousness by the practice of some good thing, my heart in secret rebuked me as guilty of hypocrisy, in wanting to appear what I was not, and God did not permit that to succeed. Oh, how excellent are the crosses of Providence! All other crosses are of no value. I was often very ill and in danger of death, and knew not how to prepare myself for it. Several persons of piety who had been acquainted with me wrote to me about those things which the gentleman spread about me. I did not offer to justify myself, although I knew myself innocent of the things whereof they accused me. One day, being in the greatest desolation and distress, I opened the New Testament on these words, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." That, for a little time, gave me some relief. Chapter 24. The Lord took from me all the sensibility which I had for the creatures or things created, even in an instant as one takes off a robe. After that time I had none for any whatsoever. Though he had done me that favor, for which I can never be sufficiently grateful, I was, however, neither more contented nor less confused by it. My God seemed to be so estranged and displeased with me that there remained nothing but the grief of having lost his blessed presence through my fault. The loss of my reputation every day increasing became sensible to my heart, though I was not allowed to justify or bewail myself. As I became always more impotent for every kind of exterior works, as I could not go to see the poor, nor stay at church, nor practice prayer, as I became colder toward God, in proportion as I was more sensible of my wrong steps, all this destroyed me the more, both in my own eyes and in those of others. There were some very considerable gentlemen who made proposals for me, and even such persons as, according to the rules of fashion, ought not to think of me. They presented themselves during the very depth of my outward and inward desolation. At first it appeared to me a means of drawing me out of the distress I was in, but it seemed to me then, notwithstanding my pains of body and mind, that if a king had presented himself to me, I would have refused him with pleasure to show thee, O my God, that with all my miseries I was resolved to be thine alone. If thou wouldst not accept of me, I should at least have the consolation of having been faithful to thee to the utmost of my power. For as to my inward state, I never mentioned it to anybody. I never spoke thereof, nor of the suitors, though my mother-in-law would say that if I did not marry, it was because none would have me. It was sufficient for me that thou, O my God, knewest that I sacrificed them to thee, without saying a word to anybody, especially one whose high birth and amiable exterior qualities might have tempted both my vanity and inclination. Oh, could I but have hoped to become agreeable to thee, such a hope would have been like a change from hell to heaven. I, from presuming to hope for it, that I feared this sea of affliction might also be followed by everlasting misery in the loss of thee. I dared not even desire to enjoy thee. I only desired not to offend thee. I was for 5 or 6 weeks at the last extremity. I could not take any nourishment. A spoonful of broth made me faint. My voice was so gone that when they put their ears close to my mouth, they could scarcely distinguish my words. I could not see any hope of salvation, yet was not unwilling to die. I bore a strong impression that the longer I lived, the more I would sin. Of the two, I thought I would rather choose hell than sin. All the good which God made me do now seemed to me evil or full of faults. All my prayers, penances, alms, and charities seemed to rise up against me and heighten my condemnation. I thought there appeared on the side of God, on my own, and from all creatures, one general condemnation. My conscience was a witness against me, which I could not appease. What may appear strange, the sins of my youth did not then give me any pain at all. They did not rise up in judgment against me. But there appeared one universal testimony against all the good I had done and all the sentiments of evil I had entertained. If I went to confessors, I could tell them nothing of my condition. If I could have told them, they would not have understood me. They would have regarded me as eminent virtues. What, O my God, thy eyes are pure and chaste, rejected as infidelity. It was then that I felt the truth of what thou hast said, that thou judgest our righteousness. Oh, how pure thou art! Who can comprehend it? It was then that I turned my eyes on every side to see what way succor might come to me, but my succor could come no way but from him who made heaven and earth. As I saw there was no safety for me or spiritual health in myself, I entered into a secret complacency in seeing no good in myself whereon to rest or presume for salvation. The nearer my destruction appeared, the more I found in God himself, wherewith to augment my trust and confidence, notwithstanding he seemed so justly irritated against me. It seemed to me that I had in Jesus Christ all that was wanting in myself. O ye stout and righteous men, observe as much as ye please of excellence in what ye have done to the glory of God. As for me, I only glory in my infirmities, since they have merited for me such a Savior. All my troubles, joined to the loss of my reputation, which yet was not so great as I apprehended, it being only among a party, rendered me so unable to eat that it seemed wonderful how I lived. In 4 days I did not eat as much as would make one very moderate repast. I was obliged to keep my bed through mere weakness, my body being no longer able to support the burden laid upon it. If I had thought, known, or heard tell that there had ever been such a state as mine, it would have exceedingly relieved me. My very pain appeared to me to be sin. Spiritual books, when I tried to read them, all contributed only to augment it. I saw in myself none of those states which they set down. I did not so much as comprehend them. And when they treated the pains of certain states, I was very far from attributing any of them to myself. I said to myself, these persons feel the pains of divine operations, but as to me, I sin and feel nothing but my own wicked state. I could have wished to separate the sin from the confusion of sin, and provided I had not offended God, all would have been easy to me. A slight sketch of my last miseries, which I am glad to let you know, because in their beginning I omitted many infidelities, having had too much of an earnest attachment, vain complacence, unprofitable and tedious conversations, though self-love and nature made a sort of necessity for them. But toward the latter part, I could not have borne a speech too human, nor the least thing of the kind. Chapter 25. The first religious person that God made use of to draw me to himself, to whom, according to his desire, I had written from time to time, wrote to me in the depth of my distress, desiring me to write to him no more, signifying his disapprobation of what came from me, and that I displeased God greatly. A father, a Jesuit, who had esteemed me much, wrote to me in like manner. No doubt it was by thy permission. They thus contributed to complete my desolation. I thanked them for their charity and commended myself to their prayers. It was then so indifferent to me to be decried of everybody, even of the greatest saints, that it added but little to my pain. The pain of displeasing God and the strong propensity I felt in myself to all sorts of faults caused me most lively and sensible pain. I had been accustomed from the beginning to dryness and privation. I even preferred it to the state of abounding, because I knew that I must seek God above all. I had even at the first beginnings an instinct of my inmost soul to pass over every manner of thing whatsoever, and to leave the gifts to run after the giver. But at this time my spirit and senses were in such a manner struck by thy permission, O my Lord, who wert pleased to destroy me without mercy, that the farther I went, the more everything appeared to me a sin. Even crosses appeared to me no more crosses but real faults. I thought I drew them all on myself by my imprudent words and actions. I was like those who, looking through a colored glass, behold everything of the same color with which it is stained. Had I been able to perform any exterior acts as formerly, or penances for my evil, it would have relieved me. I was forbidden to do the latter. Besides, I grew so timorous and felt in myself such a weakness as made it appear impossible for me to do them. I looked on them with horror. I found myself now so weak and incapable of anything of the kind. I omit many things, both of providences of the Lord in my favor and of rugged paths through which I was obliged to pass. But as I have only one general view, I leave them in the knowledge of the Lord only. Afterward, being forsaken of my director, the coldness toward me which I remarked in the persons conducted by him gave me no more trouble, nor indeed the estrangement of all the creatures on account of my inward humiliation. My brother also joined with those who exclaimed against me, even though he had never seen them before. I believe it was the Lord who conducted things in this way, for my brother has worth, and undoubtedly thought he did well in acting thus. I was obliged to go about some business to a town where some near relations of my mother-in-law lived. How did I find things changed there?